Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Saturday, August 22, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with artificial intelligence and fact-checked against current reporting and official records. We begin in Washington, where Chief Justice John Roberts has temporarily allowed construction to continue on President Trump's White House ballroom project while the Supreme Court considers the administration's emergency appeal. The dispute is not a final ruling on the project. It is an interim order that prevented lower court restrictions from taking effect while the justices consider what happens next. Lower courts had concluded that the administration needed congressional approval for above-ground work on the proposed 90,000-square-foot ballroom built where the East Wing once stood. The administration says the roughly $400 million project is privately financed and includes security-related facilities. Historic preservation plaintiffs say the president cannot proceed unilaterally and accuse the administration of moving quickly enough to make court review ineffective. Court filings say construction is already about 65% complete. For now, work can continue. The larger questions over presidential authority, congressional control of federal property, and the merits of the preservation group's challenge remain unresolved. A major technology and child privacy case has ended in a settlement. The Justice Department says TikTok, its parent company ByteDance, and related entities will pay $400 million to resolve a federal lawsuit over children's privacy. According to the department, TikTok will pay $300 million immediately. Another $100 million is due after a court order vacates an earlier consent decree involving TikTok's predecessor, Musical.ly. The government says this is one of the largest recoveries obtained in a case under the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. The 2024 suit alleged that the companies collected personal information from children under 13 without required parental consent and did not consistently honor parents' requests to delete children's accounts. The Justice Department also said TikTok has made changes to ownership, compliance functions, age-related controls, and parental oversight since the case began. Those were allegations resolved by settlement. There has been no judicial determination of liability. The agreement nevertheless puts a large financial figure behind a continuing question for social media platforms: how reliably they identify and protect younger users. In Albany, New York, federal authorities say they stopped an alleged ISIS-inspired plot aimed at the state capitol before an attack could occur. The Justice Department says 35-year-old Jessica Bowie made an initial federal court appearance on a charge of attempting to provide material support or resources to ISIS. Authorities allege that she took photographs of the Capitol grounds, expressed an intent to target lawmakers, and was arrested on August 19 after taking possession of what she believed was an explosive device. The Justice Department says Bowie was detained pending further proceedings. The charge carries a potential maximum prison sentence of 20 years, but this is a criminal accusation, not a conviction. As in every criminal case, the defendant is presumed innocent unless and until guilt is proven in court. The case was investigated by the FBI with federal, state, and local partners. Its immediate significance is the allegation that law enforcement intervened before the device could be used, rather than after an attack. Election Administration is also back before the courts and federal agencies. A federal judge in Boston this month again barred the administration from implementing central parts of President Trump's order, seeking to tighten mail voting before the November midterms. The order called for a federal voter list and a larger postal service role in determining which ballot mail could be delivered. States challenging it argue that election rules are principally the responsibility of states and Congress. The administration maintains that citizenship verification is needed to protect federal elections. A late report Friday said the Postal Service was preparing a final rule connected to the policy, even though court orders currently block the changes from taking effect. That reporting should be treated carefully. The legal status is still contested, and a final agency rule would not by itself erase a court injunction. For voters, the practical point is simple. Election procedures, deadlines, and ballot return options remain state and local matters. Anyone planning to vote by mail should rely on instructions from their own election office rather than assumptions drawn from the national legal fight. In California, the Justice Department announced a federal court ruling involving the Sable offshore pipeline system near Santa Barbara. The department says the ruling affirmed federal authority under the Defense Production Act to protect the operation of the Santa Ynez pipeline. According to the Justice Department, the decision allows the continued flow of up to 50,000 barrels of domestically produced oil a day toward California refineries. The department argues that the supply is important for refineries and military installations on the West Coast. The case sits inside a longer and often contentious debate over oil infrastructure, coastal environmental risk, state authority, and energy supply. Friday's ruling is a legal victory for the federal government and the company's operation. It does not settle the broader policy arguments around offshore production or California's energy transition. The country's rush to build artificial intelligence infrastructure is becoming a political issue well beyond Silicon Valley. A group of prominent activists associated with the Make America Healthy Again movement has urged President Trump not to use coal-fired power as a way to meet the electricity demands of new AI data centers. Their letter puts figures allied with Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s movement at odds with administration efforts to encourage coal and with the broader competition to build data centers. The concern is not only carbon emissions. Critics also point to air pollution, water use, strain on local grids, and the impact on nearby communities. Supporters of the build-out argue that data centers bring investment, tax revenue, and jobs while helping the United States compete in artificial intelligence. Opponents say communities too often carry the costs while the biggest economic gains go elsewhere. That tension is moving into state and local politics and, increasingly, national midterm campaigns. The argument is likely to become more visible as utilities decide what generation and transmission they need to serve a power-hungry technology boom. And in space news, NASA's effort to save the aging Neil Gehrels Swift Observatory has been called off. NASA and Catalyst Space Technologies said their Lynx spacecraft will not attempt to capture Swift and boost it into a higher orbit because of spacecraft control problems. Swift has spent more than two decades observing gamma-ray bursts, exploding stars, and other fast-changing events in the universe. NASA paid $30 million for the rescue effort after intense solar activity caused the telescope to lose altitude more quickly than expected. Without a boost, Swift is expected to re-enter the atmosphere later this year, though NASA does not expect that before October. The decision marks the end of an unusual attempt to extend the life of a productive science observatory through a commercial servicing mission. Turning overseas, a trade deadline between the United States and Canada has now produced an escalation rather than a deal. The United States imposed 50% tariffs on about $20 billion worth of Canadian products after negotiations failed to reach a final agreement. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said Canada would match the new tariffs dollar for dollar to protect Canadian workers and businesses. The move deepens a trade conflict between two closely integrated economies and raises new questions about the future of the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement review. The immediate effects will depend on precisely which products are covered, how quickly Canada implements retaliation, and whether negotiations resume. But tariffs are paid at the border by importers. Their costs can then move through supply chains, affecting businesses, prices, producers, and consumers on both sides. This is especially consequential because the United States and Canada share deeply connected auto, energy, agriculture, manufacturing, and consumer goods markets. A trade dispute that broad can become visible far from Washington or Ottawa. In the Middle East, the Trump administration is intensifying its economic pressure campaign against Iran as the conflict nears the six-month mark. The administration has described its approach as unprecedented economic isolation, intended to push Iran to curb its nuclear program and reopen the Strait of Hormuz to oil and natural gas shipping. Iran has lived under varying levels of sanctions for decades and has said it will not reopen the strait until the United States meets commitments Tehran says were made in earlier arrangements. The opposing demands leave diplomacy difficult and shipping through one of the world's most important energy choke points uncertain. The human and economic toll inside Iran is severe. The International Monetary Fund has forecast inflation near 70% by the end of the year and an economic contraction of more than 5%, according to Associated Press reporting. Those are forecasts, not guarantees, but they describe the scale of the strain facing ordinary Iranian households. For Americans, the conflict matters through oil markets, inflation risk, U.S. military commitments, and the wider security of international shipping. There is no announced diplomatic breakthrough this morning. Now to the economy and markets. Because it is Saturday, these are final closing figures from the most recent completed U.S. trading session Friday, August 21st. They are not futures or intraday prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 517.80 points, or 1%, to close at 53,277.01. The S&P 500 gained 33.21 points, or 0.4%, to finish at 7,674.37. The Nasdaq Composite added 113.29 points, also 0.4%, and closed at 26,180.45. The rebound trimmed losses from a difficult week, but it did not erase them. For the week, the S&P 500 was down 1.4%, the Dow down 0.8%, and the Nasdaq down 2.1%. Bond market volatility remained a central concern. The larger story is the pressure from long-term Treasury yields. Earlier this week, the Treasury Department said it would at least double the size of buybacks for some longer-dated government debt. Buybacks mean the government repurchases outstanding securities. Treasury says the program can help cash management and market liquidity, while new issuance replaces securities that are bought back. Investors initially welcomed the announcement because it appeared aimed at easing stress in the long end of the bond market. But yields rose again as investors weighed heavy government borrowing, inflation concerns, geopolitical risk, and uncertainty about the Federal Reserve's future policy path. That matters beyond Wall Street. Treasury yields influence borrowing costs throughout the economy, including mortgages, corporate financing, and government interest expense. The national debt has passed $40 trillion, making the cost and structure of federal borrowing an increasingly important issue for households, businesses, investors, and lawmakers. In sports, college football is almost here. The Associated Press preseason top 25 has Ohio State at number 1 and Oregon at number 2, marking just the second time the Big Ten has held the top two spots in the preseason poll. Ohio State received 40 first-place votes. Oregon received 14. Georgia, Notre Dame, and Texas complete the top 5. Defending national champion Indiana begins at number 6, followed by Miami, Texas A&M, Mississippi, and Oklahoma. The poll does not decide anything on the field, but it gives shape to the season before the first kickoff. The 2026 college football schedule begins Thursday, August 27th, in Week 0, with the bulk of the opening weekend following after that. Ohio State enters as the favorite in a sport where expectations can become their own pressure. Oregon begins with its highest preseason ranking in program history. And with 9 ranked teams, the Southeastern Conference again has the largest representation of any conference in the poll. On the PGA Tour, the BMW Championship is set up for a crowded weekend at Bellerive Country Club in St. Louis. After the opening round, Gary Woodland, Wyndham Clark, Rory McIlroy, J.J. Spahn, and Chris Goddard shared the lead at 6-under par after rounds of 64. Reo Hisatsune and Matt Fitzpatrick were one shot back after 65s. Scottie Scheffler, the defending champion, is in the field as the FedEx Cup playoffs reach their penultimate event. The stakes are considerable. Only the top 30 players in the FedEx Cup standings after this tournament advance to next week's Tour Championship. The BMW Championship has a $20 million purse, with $3.6 million to the winner and 750 FedEx Cup points available. It is too early to draw conclusions from one round, particularly with 5 players sharing the lead. But McIlroy's presence in that group and the pressure of the season's final cutoff give the tournament a strong weekend storyline. A quick results roundup from Friday night. In NFL preseason play, the New York Jets beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 17-0. Geno Smith completed all 7 of his passes for 65 yards and a touchdown on his lone drive. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees beat the Blue Jays 3-1 behind a Spencer Jones home run. The Phillies walked off the Cardinals 7-6 in 10 innings on Alec Bohm's triple. The Dodgers edged the Pirates 5-4 in 10 innings with Max Muncy homering. The Mariners beat the Cubs 6-5 in 10, helped by a Cal Raleigh homer. And the White Sox topped the Mets 6-4 on Jake Rogers' walk-off 2-run home run. Finally, in entertainment, the 5th and final season of Outer Banks is now streaming on Netflix. The teen adventure series returns to its group of friends known as the Pogues after the events of its 4th season, with a story centered on revenge, redemption, and a stolen artifact. Netflix has positioned this as the conclusion of the original series, which became one of the service's most recognizable young adult adventure dramas. The show's final season arrived Thursday, August 20th, bringing back the coastal North Carolina setting, its treasure hunt premise, and the cast led by Chase Stokes and Madeline Klein. For viewers catching up, the new season follows the emotional fallout of the prior chapter rather than beginning a separate story. As always with a finale release, the experience will differ depending on whether people watch all at once or pace it over the weekend. That is the briefing for this Saturday. We covered the White House ballroom case, TikTok's privacy settlement, the Canada tariff escalation, Iran, markets, AI data centers, science, sports, and culture. Please follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. This is Artificially Intelligent News.